Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Testing. It's Friday, 30th of May, 2025, and this is episode 92. I'm your host today, hosting solo, like the old days, which I'll come on to a little bit. Yes, my name is Simon Tomes. I am the community lead here at Ministry of Testing, and it is wonderful to be here. Now, because I'm here by myself, I should do a quick audio test. So if you can hear me, please do react in the live chat for those who are listening. Oh, Jesse has said episode 92 wowzers. So that is my all clear that the audio is working fine. So thank you, Jesse, Christine, Lucas, Meg, and Alexandra. Wonderful. So the audio test is done. That's the scariest bit over. So I hope your week has been well. Yeah, have a little think about what you've been up to. I'd love to hear from you in a bit. So there's an opportunity to come up on stage. We get to that in a little bit. Tell us what you've been doing. Tell us what you've been seeing, observing, listening to, watching, discovering. We want to hear it all. Start some good little chit chats and see where the conversation goes. Great. Oh, John in the chat. Week has been splendid and yours. Well, it's been a good one, John. It's been a busy one, as always. And I wanted to first of all share, this is hot off the press, literally announced this morning. So we are introducing another certification. It's the MOT Software Quality Engineering Certificate. We've called it SQEC, so in honor of STEC, which is our other certificate that we've been building, we are going to work on SQEC. This is very, very exciting. And to put it, you know, into context, the words from Rosie, who posted earlier on today, the world is shifting towards quality engineering, and we are here to represent this future together. We will be building this in a similar style to our Software Testing Essentials certification, with an early bird pricing and releasing it module by module. Details are coming shortly. Now, sneaky peek, an extra sneaky peek. It's awesome. That's all I can say. We are going to be working with a lot of brilliant people to help us put it together. I've got eyes on the curriculum already, and it is pretty special. So yes, keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. But the MOT Software Quality Engineering Certificate, known as SQEC, is coming. And that is very, very exciting indeed. Is that the sneakiest peek ever, Jesse? Yes, I guess it is. yeah, I'd love to share more, but at this stage we can't. I really would. But yes, just trying to get some excitement. But yeah. All I can say is the people that will be involved are brilliant people in the community. And this is what we found with STEC. So our Software Testing Essentials certification, 57 people contributed to that. They shared their stories. They shared audio bites. They had discussions with each other. They have written articles all to make up that certification. And it's really powerful stuff. So not only when people take this sort of certification, do they gain knowledge? Of course they gain knowledge. They also build a portfolio, which they can demonstrate to future employers or to their managers to go for promotions. And they also connect with a whole bunch of brilliant community people. And that's the real value, perhaps, over other certifications that are out in the market right now. And we're going to do the same with SQEC. So yes, super exciting. But I don't want to take up the whole episode talking about that. We've got other things to talk about. So what has been happening in This Week in Testing? It was good to see Stu Day, Chris Henderson. They're doing more interviews on their Quality Talks podcast. So if you haven't checked it out already, do look for Quality Talks podcast. They are running a bite-sized set of interviews to help people who are interviewees and interviewers. So people that are, you know, in the process of looking for their next role and people who are hiring. We have grouped all of them as a collection on the Ministry of Testing website. So if you do a search on ministrytesting.com for Quality Talks Bite Size, you will find that collection, and there's a few more videos to come. So Yeah, the Chris and Stu are up to good things, so do go check it out. It was lovely to see the Manila meetup sharing a photo of their meetup. So do go check that out on our memories page. It's great to see the meetups are thriving right now across the Motiverse. It's really impressive. And Alexandra, who is leads so many initiatives when it comes to events in the community and meetups, has been setting up more meetups across the globe. So you can go to ministryoftestingcom/meetups. To find out more, I also realize I forgot to mention the code of conduct, so apologies for that. Just this is an official Ministry of Testing event for those joining live. So if you are in the chat and you are joining the stage, please be mindful of that code of conduct. Talking about this week in testing and codes of conduct, I recently posted, it was a prompt from Emily O'Connor within the MOT Slack. I was curious to know why we use Crowdcast to host this event live. And it led me to capture five fun facts about the origins of This Week in Testing. So I thought I'd share that with you. Fact number one, this event started as an internal thought experiment where I wondered how easy it would be for us to spin up a voice-only room where we could chat with each other at a similar time each week. You know, how can we make it real low barrier to entry to join? You just click a button and you turn up. And at that point, there wasn't even a thought about it becoming a podcast. That's fact number one. Fact number two, we tried a tool called Jamshelf for a couple of the early episodes. We wanted to easily embed it on the club, so our forum. And in the end, we ran it within a separate browser session with a few people joining us. Unfortunately, I can't remember who those folks were in the early days. It might have been Ben Doan back then. So he's been there right from the start. But the app didn't work so well. So we went, nope, that's not for us. Twit was then hosted on Twitter before it was X via the Twitter Spaces feature. So you might remember Twitter Spaces. It was an easy way to get people to join an audio-only session. And that actually, we just called it Ministry of Testing Twitter Spaces. It wasn't even called This Week in Testing. So that happened for a bit, but then we decided to move off Twitter for reasons. And Jesse in the chat says, yes, I remember that. Oh, love that, Jesse. That's very cool. So we then, fact number four, we moved to LinkedIn audio-only events because it was super simple for people to join. So LinkedIn offered that as a feature. And at the end of 2024, they decided to shut down that service. So we thought, okay, well, we need to find another platform. And here we are. We are on Crowdcast. Fact number five, I was reluctant to record the audio for this as a podcast, as I assumed it would change the vibe. I wanted to ensure that, you know, we could reduce the pressure of people coming up on stage and not worrying about, you know, things being recorded. However, I am very glad that Rosie persevered and continued to encourage us to turn this into a podcast. You know, there is, of course, a little bit of extra pressure because it's recorded. But you know what? I'm so glad we get to record it because for folks who are listening back to this on the podcast who aren't able to join live because it's often tricky to cater for all time zones and people's availability, they get to listen in. And they've got an archive of loads and loads of episodes they can come back to. And if somebody misses something during the live event or the live version, they can come back to it. So I'm so glad that we do have this recorded. So there you go. That was some fun facts. But you can find that on our memories page. So we are sharing a lot more memories, posting on memories first and then putting stuff out to our social platforms. But jump on memories first. And yourself, you can join in on the memories fun. Think of memories like a micro blogging site. So you don't just have to share a photo of something and say, hey, look at this cool photo. That's obviously lovely. Please keep doing that. You can tag people in it and they get a little notification and a community star for being tagged. You can also share your thoughts. Maybe you have a diagram that you want to describe. Maybe you have a model that you want to put out there. Share it as something on memories. You can also upload video. I recently experimented with that on a weekly challenge that we're now setting for leaders, those who are leading with quality. And it was this idea. You share one leadership idea that you practice. So you go to the memories page, you create a new memory, You share one leadership idea that you practice right now. You can write it out, describe it to someone, or you can upload a short 99-second video. And we will spot that when you post that memory, and we will add it to that leadership collection. And we're going to do this each week. We're going to set another challenge for the leaders out there to share more of their experiences. We'll wrap it up into a collection so people can get access to that. So yeah, having lots of fun with memories, please do get involved. Think about, oh, I'm posting this on LinkedIn. Oh, actually, maybe I'll just post this on memories as well. And then I'll link to it on LinkedIn. That's always an option. It will add to your profile. So your profile page will build up. You will gather community stars off the back of it, and it will build your presence. For a little side note, our website ranks very, very well for SEO. So if people are searching for you, they will likely find your MOT profile if your MOT profile is busy and is doing lots of good stuff. So if you're thinking about, you know, going for that promotion at work, or you're looking for your next opportunity, working on building your Ministry of Testing profile page is a really cool thing to do. Okay, folks, let's do a quick check on what else has been happening in the Motiverse. Oh, it's good to see, I think Gary is with us today. Yes, Gary Hawks. I would love what Gary shared earlier on the club. So yeah, we put out a post. There was an article that went out a while back called Roadmap to Becoming a Test Automation Engineer. And I asked a question like, what's changed since? Lots of great replies, including like, yeah, the use of AI to support us. And I liked what Gary had to share. Gary shared the following. I do think one thing that's becoming more common is the building utilities to aid testability. So that's where automation engineer skill sets are being extended closer to developers beyond just testing UIs, APIs, and databases, but tools to bridge those testability gaps. I thought what Gary had to share there was very cool indeed. So that's a post on the club. The club is our forum, and it's it's asking people what's changed, the roadmap to becoming a test automation engineer. Right, what else have we got going on? Just looking through my notes here. Ah, yes, want to do a shout out to Anne-Marie Charette. Her Quality Coach Handbook is being officially launched very, very soon. That is absolutely one to go check out if you're not familiar with Anne-Marie. She's doing awesome stuff. She has shared a lot of brilliant things with the Ministry of Testing community. Do go look up her profile and you'll see some of the talks and the conversations that she shared. And do go check out her book. It's called The Quality Coach Handbook. It's launching very, very soon. I will include a link to it in the newsletter that we put out every Monday, so MOT Weekly. There will be a link to that and everything else that I've discussed so far. Okay, folks, I think it's a good opportunity now to get some people up on stage. Lots of chat going on for those who are joining us live. Thank you for all of the chat. Oh, brilliant. And Jesse is on it, sharing the links. That's brilliant. Good to see Emily and Bharat, Varshney. AJ, thank you for joining us. Better late than never, of course. Of course. It is always better late than never to join a This Week in Testing. That's great. Yes. Okay, folks. So I want to see if Crowdcast is doing its thing. So I would love for some of you to put your hand up to come and talk about your week in testing. What is it you've been up to? What question could you pose to those listening to get more people up on stage? What would you like to discuss? Of course, you know, any topics around leading with quality is very much welcome. Maybe you're excited for Test Bash. I know it's a long way away. I see some Test Bash mentions in the chat there from AJ. It's all happening behind the scenes when it comes to Test Bash. We are very, very excited. So yes, please do raise your hand. I'm just going to, for those who are watching along, I'm going to share a slide that gives you instructions about how you can raise your hand. If you are on a mobile device, I recommend not using the app and rejoining in a browser, so a mobile browser. The audio tends to work a little bit better, or much better, I should say, if you're using the web browser. And if you can't officially put your hand up, please put your name in the chat and I will write down a little note to remind me to bring you up on stage. But I can see, oh, AJ, when I raised my hand, it kicked me out. LOL. Sorry about that, AJ. Pesky crowdcast bugs. I mean, it would not be an episode of This Week in Testing if we didn't have some crowdcast bugs. So please, please bear with us, AJ, with that bug. Okay, so AJ, talking to which, I see your hand is now raised, so I'm going to bring you up on stage. And also, Christine, I'll bring you up after AJ. Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear my audio, AJ? Okay, I can see a little indicator that would suggest you are speaking, AJ. So sorry if I'm talking over you. I can now see two of you. Lovely. Folks, I'm just gonna do a check because I got booted out for some reason. And Christine says that she can hear us. Okay, right, let's try. And whilst AJ is trying again, let's try one more time. AJ, can you hear me? Over. Ah, Crowdcast. It's a love-hate relationship with Crowdcast. It certainly makes for a fun experience. So thank you for your patience, listeners. What I will do, Christine, let's get you up on stage and see if we can just test out with another person to see what happens.
Hello.
Christine, hello, welcome.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, Crowdcast has its moments today. Hey, very sad. I would have liked to hear what AJ has to say.
Yeah, likewise. AJ, keep trying. We'll try and get you back up on stage soon.
Yeah.
Christine, how has your week in testing been?
Oh, my week in testing has been intense. Besides that, I'm tested out multiple medication against my awful cough and cold, which I kind of now finally battled. So I at least also be hearable. I worked on my LDX3 talk, which is in June. It's like the big lead dev for engineering hats and everything in London. And my talk is there about quality engineering, like what the talk title. I got very creative because I was like, yeah, it's called the $1 million bug. And I'm basically going into CrowdStrike's cases. And also my whole goal, I was basically working on the content outline because they do a mandatory content check, which I really appreciated. And yeah, my questions are about this because I would love to know from the audience what would be, or you can also write, what would be the one thing you would like a lead, like a head engineer, a CTO know about quality? Because what I'm basing it around is basically around this lie that if you want to have speed, you have to sacrifice quality. And I don't believe that because I believe quality is speed, because only the companies who invest in a lot of quality are also the ones which actually go quite quickly forward. And that's the whole big theme I'm putting the talk around. And a little bit, it goes a little bit about CrowdStrike and Sonos, as we know the cases, then about my personal things, and then basically also in positive cases like Microsoft and Spotify. And yeah, and then basically in the end, things these engineering leads can take away. But I would love to hear from your side, what is like, what did you always wanted to like get into your engineering hat, like in the head of the engineering, what should they know? Because as we always know, we know you need quality and you should never sacrifice quality, but they don't. So because I'm speaking a lot on business terms, I'm trying to avoid any technical terms and speak only on business terms that they basically can really use this for then the next morning to hopefully lead more with quality on the engineering level, on the, even the CTO level. I would love that they would take it as well. That is my week so far, beside a lot of other work on Epic Test Quest as we revamping our design. Ramping up the MVP, hopefully next week we can internally finally test that Slack app. That's my goal right now. I'm battling today Cloud, Google Cloud. Oh man, that's a fun one. It's like Crowdcast. Sometimes it's doing it, and sometimes it's not. Always interesting if any of these DevOps tools ever been tested by like hardcore testers, because I'm using it and it's like, man, how can it be that these links constantly bring me in a loop? But that has been my week so far.
Oh wow, Christine, what a cool week. And except for you feeling terrible, and I do hope the medication is helping and you're feeling better. And yes, you turn a corner this weekend with any illness that you've had.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. And yeah, let's get some people up on stage. I mean, great question. And thank you, Emily O'Connor, in the chat for framing it. What do you want engineers and management? And I'll add CTOs to know about quality. You know, what is the relationship between speed and quality? That is such a good question. And I think once that talk is hopefully available for us to watch, we can certainly add it to the observatory, Christine. So for those unfamiliar, the observatory is where Team MOT add links to brilliant content that is out there. So out in the world that is related to the world of quality and the world of tech. We often add stuff. So no doubt, Christine, once that talk's available, if it ends up on, say, YouTube, we will add a link to it and then connect it up to your profile. So folks can go to your profile and then find said talk. But that's cool and great to do that research. I would say, Christine, just off the bat, please do put that question on the club. I think you'll get some good responses there. And let's see who we have with their hands raised. We can bring them up. So AJ has their hands raised. So let's get AJ to the main stage. And I really do hope this works.
Let's hope.
Fingers crossed. And I see
And
that
thank
Ushua wants to join us as well. AJ.
Has it worked?
Yes.
Yay!
It worked.
Huzzah!
Winner.
I went to mobile web instead
Yeah.
of the app or a desktop web, so it's working. It's
So
got something
you're.
on my laptop then.
So you're now on desktop or mobile web? Sorry, I
Mobile
misunderstood.
web.
Oh, brilliant. Hey, that's cool. That's much better than the app because I know we have a bit of a choppy audio if someone jumps on stage on the mobile app. So mobile web, I'm glad to hear it's
Yeah.
working. AJ, before we dive into your week in testing, I'd love to hear about that. Do you have any thoughts to share about, you know, what thing would you like a head engineer or CTO to know about quality?
Oh, that's a really good question. That would be a really good poll, actually, like an open poll, just asking
Yeah.
the general population, like, what would you want your quality engineering manager to know?
Yeah.
Because I think there's it's really good. It's almost like politics, right? You want to understand their perspective and their viewpoint, and what their actual opinion on quality is and what it means to them, especially if they're going to be supporting you in your kind of quality coaching or how you're going to be doing quality engineering. I think my main thing for me is them understanding value and the benefit of removing friction. When it comes to quality, that's probably the most important things for me. Metrics are okay for some people.
Oh no, we lost
Oh,
you at the metrics.
AJ, yeah,
Oh, hello.
I think you said that keyword metrics and then Crowdcast blew up.
I'm just I think it's because my screen saver went on, that's why. So
Oh,
I think for
that's
me, as long as it's not all about metrics, then that's probably the most important thing for me from a quality engineering management perspective. I want to know that they value understanding value and benefit of what we're doing. That value is probably one of the most important parts. So minimum valuable quality, minimum viable quality, what's the minimum we can deliver and how do we improve on that type of thing. If they just care about OKRs and KPIs, then they're not the right person for that role, in my opinion.
Yeah, I get it. It's great advice. It makes me think your comment about removing friction. I wonder, like, it feels like maybe there's a model to be built about that. Like, what does that look like? What is friction and how is it kind of is, you know, what is good friction and what is bad friction and sort of
Yeah.
like maybe a scale of when it can be helpful and when it can be counterproductive. Maybe
I mean,
there's
I don't know if
something.
it helps. Oh, sorry, Simon.
No, go
Apologies.
for it. Go for it.
I don't know if it helps. One of the things I've been doing for the last 4 years is doing like a mind map of all the touch points of the domain or the teams that I'm working in, and just having that conversation with the engineers and the POs and VAs and say, what areas are causing friction for you? What areas do we Do we not know if there's any friction? So kind of developing that quality radar to help us identify what we want to focus on. And everyone will have different opinions. So if three engineers, for example, all care about the same three friction points, that's a really good way of prioritizing what we work on. So having that kind of friction identifying map kind of thing, quality radar, is really good.
That's very, very cool. We need to get that somewhere, AJ. maybe it could be a memory, like an example of that mind map and a description as to how someone might use it and create their own mind map.
You could build a template and share it if it helps.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, a template, a friction identifier template would be really cool. Christine, please jump on in.
Yeah, I think that sounds very fascinating, because I also believe, like what you said, if it's just like metrics, it doesn't work. But then I still give one metrics in it, but the other methods I thought about is a lot about not like 5,000 meetings, but like specific post-mortem meetings to really talk about quality. I called it quality review meeting, because what I encountered, like one of the examples I'm sharing, is basically I had a 3 a.m. night release. That kind of was okay, but there was a lot of things in technical debt which just didn't work. And then we just never like talked about this. And 3 months later, the company was bankrupt. Now, I don't say that everything is related just to that one night deployment, which was for a really expensive advertisement during Fashion Week. But it is still related also that we never took the chance to really talk about this. Surely we had all agile ceremonies like plannings and yada, yada, yada in retro. But if I was always the only one saying, hey, okay, but we should talk about also what was wrong from the quality perspective. We are like increasing our technical debt, and these things are just not like it's increasing. Nobody's doing it. Again, quality versus speed. So I know that only metrics is not good, but we have to have some to like give this, like, because the problem is always the higher ups need also some monetary value. I believe it has. Yeah, I like the I would like to see that friction model, because I think that could be very interesting how I could put that in as well. I have to see. That's super interesting. Thank you, AJ.
I don't know if it helps, but Alexander's raised a really good point. Alexander Romanoff, he stated that one thing we need to promote across the teams is the idea that QE engineers are like doctors, only highlight their problems. It's up to the management to make a decision whether to fix bugs, brackets, illness, or live with it. I agree with part of that, but I think my concern is if that quality engineers and software engineers and the POs and BAs are in a team and they're owning that product and product health, if they then have to go to management to get approval to make changes, there's a problem. There should be some level of autonomy in trusting in what people are doing in their Oracle knowledge and experience, that if they say we can fix this in the pipeline now, that they can just do it. They don't have to go through multiple meetings or get that approval process. I understand that it's based on risk and every team is different, and there might be that change management process where they have to go through the approvals based on the risk level. But I would hope that testing and technical teams are moving more towards a flat hierarchy where they do have the autonomy.
I hope so too. Also, I think not just hierarchies, also matureness. I hope that also the processes and the matureness of the team is like testing is seen as a team responsibility. And then I would also as a lead believe that they can decide that for themselves as well. I think you're pointing out the right one.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's about maturity. It's about lots of things, actually. And I do appreciate, probably the same as you, Christine, and everyone else listening, that every team's in a different part of their journey. And it could be that some teams have gone two steps forward, one step back, or one step forward, two steps back, and that's also fine. I just hope that we all get to a better place when it comes to quality engineering.
Oh, I hope so too.
Heck yeah to that, AJ. And I think that's, you know, conversations like this and everything else that's going on in the Motiverse is really to keep those conversations and debates going. It's important, right? And I think, Christine, much respect to you for diving into places outside of the testing QA quality engineering space to kind of bring, you know, literally leading with quality, where quality can be the center of everything. And everything else can get built around that. I think it's really powerful stuff. And we, you know, we should find ways to get outside of the Motiverse, so to speak. Because it's just important, right? We've got to have these conversations. I think we've got to talk about, you know, what does responsibility mean versus accountability? What is it about systems thinking and the skills we can develop around systems thinking, where we can spot patterns and join the dots and see something over here that has an impact over this place and the other place that perhaps others might not be able to see? You know, that is the real value that we can bring as professionals. So yeah, it's so cool that you're doing that, Christine. And thank you also, AJ, for sharing your thoughts and some models as well. It's very cool.
Yeah, I completely agree. It is super scary to do that, because I still also, and the more and more I'm going to other events and doing other things, I'm just see, and I appreciate it. I didn't tell it actually, Rosie, yet. I appreciate so much the Motaverse and so much of our community feeling. Even like I said, I connected to so many people, never met them in my life. Now TestBash, I had the chance last year to meet so many awesome people. And still, even if I wouldn't have not met you, Simon, I still have a community feeling to you. I still know I can jump here on this talk and talk about these things. And I feel so like it's a belonging feeling. And that's why it's so scary. Like LDX3 is like not people. Like I know a couple, like AJ's team, I think, will come, and also Parveen's team will come. So that's like, yeah, I have some people I know and I'm super happy. And I hope you will sit somewhere that I can see you. But everything else is super scary, because it's like, yeah, it's a space where this, what we seem like, we all agree on this, like what you said, accountability, responsibility, quality as a team. We all know that. I don't need to argue this. There's just, we have all this understanding, but there's this like, it's very funny. And I have to, that it's like a super side note. So I'm speaking there over the CrowdStrike incident, and actually I'm not sure if it's the CTO or the CEO of CrowdStrike actually comes there as well. And is going to present the case, which is fine. It's super funny. I hope she will not sit in. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Let's see how this is going to be. Like the content team told me that. It's like, okay, maybe I should check how much I'm saying, because she will be able to say if I'm bullshitting anybody or not.
You got this, yeah. Christine. We as the community, the Modiverse community, 100% believe in you. And yeah, you're absolutely going to rock that stage. You're an incredible public speaker. You tell amazing stories and you have lots of just so much good stuff to share. So yeah, we got your back. Even if not all of us can be there, you know that we'll be there, there in spirit, cheering you on, going, go for it. Like, spread the good word, right? Like, quality can be at the center of everything, and it really should be when it comes to delivering products and services and the experiences around those things. Very, very cool. AJ, your week in testing, is there anything else you'd like to discuss? I'd love to hear more about your week in testing.
So my week in testing has actually been mostly focused on testing the recruitment process. So I've been redeveloping recruitment ways of working for about 3 or 4 years now, and I've moved it into my current company. I find that every company I go to, there's always a recruitment team, and the feedback process isn't always the greatest. I'm just very conscious from a human being level that there's automation and AI is great, but a lot of people that apply actually do invest a lot of their personal time in applying. They do their CV, they cater it, a cover letter, they answer all the questions that these big companies ask, just to get an email that says you've not been successful. And it's one of my personal bugbears. So I've spent time this week just giving catered feedback on every individual. I'm really good at taking notes during the interview process so that I can provide that feedback, and it's done in the format that anyone can do it. So just, it's more of a public service announcement, like, please, just when you're planning your recruitment time, plan that feedback time in as well, because it's human beings at the other end of it. It's not all automated and AI. And it's not just the cost aspect, it's the human aspect. Like, they're investing their time in that, and they're interviewing you as a company as well and as a brand. So it's important that you just holistically understand the whole process and give back into it as a thank you for their time. Yeah, that was it, really. That's what I wanted to mention.
Amazing. That's so cool, AJ. And rightly so. It's so easy for us to kind of just to see numbers and like, oh, we've had X amount of applications and that's that. It reminds me actually that recent talk that was published earlier this week between Stu Day and Dalbir Sembi. I think Dalbir, he shares that he applied for over 150 jobs during that job hunt, during his job hunt, and just talked about just getting ghosted so much and not getting any feedback, and just really, really difficult, you know, and that shouldn't be the way, but unfortunately that is the reality, isn't it? So yeah, kudos to you, AJ, for leading the way on that and trying to change the narrative and go, you know, that's not good enough. Our current recruitment processes aren't good enough and we need to do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it helps. One of the great things about Ministry of Testing meetups, you're with your peers, you're with like-minded individuals. And the last couple of MLT meetups I've been to, I've had people showing me their CV and I've been able to sit with them and say, this is personally what I would look for. It's not what everyone will look for, but I don't understand what this, this, and this means. So how will someone who's not even in testing understand it? Just those kind of conversations and being able to be honest with them without having to kind of create a massive email reply when someone does it online with you. You can have that kind of coaching session as well and help each other. Also looking at CVs is let me understand new technologies I've never heard of before and different experiences. So it's enabled me as an individual to go and learn more myself. So it's been really useful in those meetups.
That's so cool. I'm so glad to hear that. Because yeah, the London meetups have been brilliant as one example that we both go to, AJ, and maybe we could put that prompt out to all our meetup organizers, like encourage people who come along to bring their CV and then try and find someone that's open and up for sharing some feedback. As you say, like to amplifying your point, AJ, about just reducing that back and forth over email or Slack or whatever, just go for it there and then. Why not? It could be like it becomes a norm across the globe with the many, many ministry testing meetups that are happening. So I'm going to make a little note of that to share with our meetup organizers and see what they think. Bring your CV resume. Totally.
Yeah, I like that idea because I also, it's like sometimes, and I know that especially also because I'm interviewing a lot of people in the last weeks as well, it is sometimes difficult. I think like with the AI thing, it's on both sides. Hey? It's on one side, me as the one replying, yes, I could use the AI, but I actually don't use it. I actually really reply to everybody singly. And I'm trying to take exactly the time you're saying as well to give some feedback. Not always, because it also a little bit depends, because what I figured out now, a lot of my applicants are actually from AI as well. I was really shocked to see that. I thought these whole AI applications mainly email, but because we're using only LinkedIn, we actually also get AI applications because I was always confused some of the stuff sometimes that people, because again, we're looking for interns. This is not for people who work like 25 years in the industry. Well, they can if they want to do it as a pet project, definitely. But normally if they work full time and stuff, but then some people apply and I was like, "Huh? That makes no sense." And then also sometimes they write because I put in like, how many hours can you do? Like 200, which is like, sounds all a little weird. Why would you put this in? And then yeah, two of them wrote me back, oh yeah, I actually did not want to imply, it was my AI generator doing this, which is like, okay, interesting. We're doing it now from both sides. And I also try, I like how you said it, like bringing this human factor, especially when it's going into the interview stage, because it is time investment on both sides. And people start like want to learn as well, especially also young people or people and maybe career switchers as well. There's so many things sometimes. I also read some, what was it? I think Europass is a standard for students. And there were some acronyms, which I just never heard in my life. So I looked about this and I actually took the time, but I know other people wouldn't. So giving that feedback back, AJ, is very good, because I hope that sets the people up in a better way as well. But I like the idea from the meetup. I will take that to the next meetup as well.
Cool indeed. And another brilliant idea happening in the chat. Thank you, Emily O'Connor, for sharing this one. Should we include an open to give CV feedback on your MOT profile alongside open to speak, write, host, etc.? That's a great idea. Going to share that one internally. It would be brilliant. Make it really clear and explicit that someone can be contacted to provide their CV feedback services. Definitely. I love that idea. Thank you for sharing, Emily. Okay, folks, just doing a quick time check. We've got about 20 or so minutes and I want to make sure we can get Ushuel. Ushuel has been waiting patiently with their hands raised. So Ushuel, let's bring you up on stage and yeah, join the chat. And of course, Christine and AJ, please do stick around and jump in when you want to. So I'm going to press the magic button to bring Ujjwal up onto stage. Ujjwal, how has your week in testing been?
Hey, hi, Simon. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so it's been more than a month that I've been on stage last time.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, we could say, how has your month in testing been, if you like? Or you'll feel free to share just the last week. What would you like to do?
Well, my last week was quite busy. So I was started writing an article on how empathy is impacting the testing in fintech. And apart from that, I'm also exploring Transformers and RAD for evaluating LLM's tool. That's for self projects. And apart from that, I've started a continuous quality course on MOT. So I haven't completed that, but it's quite good. And that's all from my side. And I've also started reading a book, Growth-Driven Strategy. It's written by Pradeep Sondarajan. He's Indian. And that book is really good. So if someone is interested in reading book, I would recommend that. So that's how my week has been so far.
What a cool week. Thank you for sharing. Is there anything you're finding with the continuous quality course that you've taken? Anything that sort of jumped out that got you thinking or maybe made you go, oh yeah, I could try that, or that's new to me. Was there anything that came to mind that you would like to call out? Perhaps someone in particular who is part of the course. I think there's about seven instructors, if I remember off the top of my head without looking up. Was there anyone in particular that you thought, oh, that's really helpful?
Well, I think of Rahul Parwal in particular.
Yes, yeah, Rahul is doing amazing things. Was there something in particular that Rahul was sharing that you thought was interesting that perhaps you could share with the audience today?
Well, I would share the final feedback once I complete the course. Okay, so I'm in between that course. So.
Yes. Yeah, please do. Yeah, please do come back and maybe we could do a little section on some of your key takeaways on the continuous quality course. That would be brilliant, Ujjwal, if you're up for that at some point in the future.
Definitely.
Very, very cool. And if you get the chance, if someone hasn't done so already, feel free to share a link to that book as well. And then we can go and check that out afterwards. That would be very cool. Excellent. Okay, folks. Well, I see that we have another person looking to join the stage. So let's bring them up. Lucas.
Hello. Can you hear me?
You're loud and clear. Now, it does appear that your camera is off. I know there was only a blank screen.
I just unplugged it before coming on.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way to do it. I think... Yes, please do go for it, Lucas. It's good to see you back again.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back again. Also happy to hear Christine again after meeting 2 weeks ago in Berlin. And I want to thank you again also for your input from last week. I checked those documents and the software testing live video, the first episode. That was very interesting because it was very giving me a good feeling about not having to think about a lot when getting started with testing in the first place. So I took that by heart and I actually did my first true testing session on this one open source project that I was testing. And I actually found a crash bug. On my first session, and that felt very productive. I think I was just testing out some tools in the software and tested some different inputs and compared expected results to what I thought would be the results. And at one point I had to fiddle a bit with half an hour with one input field to find out why it was crashing in some points, and I could identify the source, did some regression testing, and wrote a short report on it in the forums, and that was yeah, that felt really nice as a first session, true testing session in the real world for me. Yeah.
Well, but congrats to you, Lucas. That Thank sounds very you. Cool indeed. It's a good feeling, right? It's a good feeling. It's like, oh yeah, I can do this, and I can, you know, use my my tools and techniques and critical thinking and curiosity to discover things, and yeah, dig a little bit deeper and do some debugging. And I'm glad to hear that Ben and Rahul's on the first episode, isn't he? If I remember correctly, of Software Testing Live. It's a really good one, isn't it? Like super good professionals describing their thinking and their literally demonstrating their approach is really powerful stuff. I'm glad you got value from that. And what's maybe some of your plans coming up soon? What is it you're looking to do next, do you think?
Right now I'm actually trying to get some applications out because I found a first few interesting junior positions actually, because right now junior positions are really rare, as you probably know. So yeah, I'm looking forward to applying to them, and for one I even have a reference from a friend working there already, so I hope that I can get finally maybe a first paid testing position. But I'm also thinking about maybe doing some low-level freelancer work, but I'm not sure if that's a good idea at my point in the testing career right now.
I got it. I wonder, I'm trying to think if there has been some debates on the club, so our forum, about freelance work. There might be. Perhaps if you do a keyword search for freelance testing or first, you know, or unpaid testing job or sponsorship, words to that effect. There might, I've got off the top of my head, I think there's a few conversations that have happened in the past. There might be some helpful stuff in that. But yeah, as Gary has shared in the chat, fingers crossed to you, Lucas. We're going to help you land that opportunity, and the community is here to support you in your career. And go for it, right? You know, the fact that you're up on stage again, the fact that you're sharing what it is you're up to, what you're learning, this is going to help other people who listen to this, not just right now, but in the future. And people will get to know you, and they get to know that you're up for it, and you're up to good things, and you're going for it. You're not sort of sitting around waiting for stuff to happen. You're making stuff happen, and that's brilliant.
So, yeah, it's also good to hear that I can do. Give something back by sharing my experiences, because like just last week I noticed that how much it helped me listening to you and to the Software Testing Live episode to just remove those mental blockades that I had in my mind about like, oh, I'm just so new to this, I have no idea how this goes, but yeah, it's not too hard once you get good input to get into it. Yeah,
it's fun as well, and I hope we see you at the next Berlin testing meetup. We are still figuring out the date, but I'm super proud to have you on here, because I remember you attending the meetup 3 weeks or something ago, and yeah, we talked about how QA's the QA secret sauce, the same talk I gave in London, so all about how you can position yourself, and I'm glad you, so like congratulations to get out your next applications, and hopefully you can definitely go into this. My bit of advice when it comes down to freelancing role as a junior, it's always tricky that because you don't know the process, but the good thing is you're learning already, so having freelancing roles where you have other seniors in it is always easier, but it's not always so easy to get. I know somebody shared, I think I just saw U-Test. It's not bad, especially for accessibility stuff. They have sometimes very interesting stuff, but it's very compatible. Like it's very like 1 cent for something. It's very, because it's very bug oriented, these platforms, that you can only get payout when you get a bug, or the rare ones where you actually do test cases. But these ones I always enjoyed, because they really like teach you a little bit how test cases are written or can be written from stakeholders, and then when you can do it and report it, you can also learn a little bit about just in general also the platform. I have no problems, like U-Test and VR testers, I use them for a while, they're always good, but it's when you're junior, it's always difficult. That's why what you're doing with the open source projects and really giving that feedback also sharing the feedback here, I believe, is exactly what you need, because then exactly you get over this blockade, because speaking here to all of us is very easy. You can hear it on me, and it's very enjoyable. And I think I always leave empowered here, and I hope everybody else leaves as well empowered and just having an hour of also enjoying our community. So I'm glad you joined, and I'm super looking forward to see you at the next Berlin meetup.
Yeah, this is great to hear. I'm planning on coming back. I hope the next flu will not get in my way like it did the last 2 weeks.
Fingers crossed. Also for me.
Yeah.
These pesky illnesses stopping people from getting out and connecting. Ah, it's these pesky bugs, I should refer to them as, I guess.
Real life bug, yeah.
Yeah, real life bug. But Lucas, I think you were on a memory that Christine posted. I just don't think you're tagged in it. So I will make sure that you get tagged in that, because that Ooh. Photo memory will also appear on your MOT profile page.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So, that's a good point. I can also do that.
Oh, yeah, please go for it, Christine.
I guess Lucas just created an account, I would say. Otherwise,
yes,
I would have done
it. Yes, it's a fairly new account.
After the meetup, I think.
Yes.
Very good. Yes, I got new members in our community.
Yes, Christine. That's so cool. But yeah, thanks so much for joining the stage, Lucas. And yeah, keep coming back and keep sharing. I do encourage you to maybe put out some of your learnings on the club. So that's
yes, I'm planning on it too. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. So for those of our listeners who aren't aware, the club is our forum, our online forum, where people can post questions or they can help answer some questions, or just share, you know, what it is they're learning. Maybe they're taking a course and they could share some of their like key takeaways and learnings. That's also really powerful. So yeah, many, many kind of opportunities to share all sorts of things on the club, and also post on memories now. Think of that as like a microblogging site, your own microblogging site. You could share, you know, a drawing, a sketch, a photo, an image, whatever you like, really, and then write something about it. Or, and you know, this goes out to everyone, not just yourself, Lucas, but people could share a video. You could create a little short update video to say what you've been doing, share a key takeaway or a key learning that will help someone else out there. So yeah, please do go for it. Treat memories as more than just photos, photo memories. It's a place to microblog. It's a place to share your thoughts and have that connected to your profile on an issue testing so other people can see it and find it. It all gets added to our search feature, you know, so that is a good thing. People will get to discover you, and Google will get to discover you and show you on search results pages, so people get to know who you are and what you're talking about.
And I have to say, the profile is getting better and better. But I have to put it on. I completely forgot, Simon. Now I can tell you, thank you so much for mixing I'm a big fan of Christine soundbite. We have this currently in our like head as actually an earworm, but I completely forgot that. Like every time I'm joining here, I'm always like, okay, what do I want to mention? And it's like, and just popped up again. It's like, thank you so much. I love this variation, because we actually thought about that, but I'm not as talented with music as you. So anybody who wants to, I have somewhere the link. Have a look. Like, I'm already so flattered that Rosie said that 2 weeks ago, because it means so much for me. But having it in such a cool mix is like so much fun. I'm like, I really enjoyed that one. So thank you so much, Simon.
Oh, you're welcome, Christine. I mean, yeah, it was lovely that Rosie shared that about you. And I think, yeah, AJ and I had a similar thought. We're like, oh yeah, this could kind of turn into a ringtone or a dance track. So yeah, just had a bit of fun with that. It did make me smile, giggling away, putting that one together. But yes, do go check it out. We're not all serious here at Ministry of Testing. I know we have serious jobs and we have to do serious things, but I think it's also important for us to keep things light as well. Kind of reflect on the funniness of the industry that we work in sometimes, even though it can be high stakes. It's always nice to try and keep things light. So that's one example, yeah, shared on the chat there, Christine, for those who are listening live. It's called I'm a Big Fan of Christine. Hey, Christine. It's coming to a chart soon. It's not really. It's just going to stay on memories. Great.
You never know.
You never know. Hey, these things can happen. Indeed. We do a collaboration with the band Underworld, who are the backing track behind that. They might be interested, who knows? So I'm just doing a quick time check and I see in the chat, Milan Kumar, let's see. It says in the chat that you have your hand raised, but I can't see it from this side, but that's fine. What we can do is we can find a way to get you up on stage for the last few minutes before we have to wrap up today. So just bear with us, Milan, and let's see if we can invite you to the main stage and see what happens. Oh, Emily as well. I apologize that I hadn't seen that you'd put your hand up or asked to come up on stage. I can't see from my side that there's a hand raised, but perhaps you shared in the chat and I just missed that. So sorry about that. So Milan, you should have an invite. It should have prompted you. Let's try and bring Emily up on stage as well. So hands raised. Ah, there we go. I can see the hand is raised. Emily, welcome to the stage.
Hello.
How has your week in testing been?
Yeah, not too bad. I raised it when we were talking about, you know, that pragmatism in testing and when a bug needs to be fixed, either right away as a feature goes out or it can be forward fixed and it's a bit of an improvement. But yeah, the thing I really wanted to talk about was in a month's time, I'm going to be speaking on stage at Athens, and my talk there is all about giving feedback, because I think this is a skill that testers have. I think every day we've got techniques that we use to get developers on board to resolve issues that we're raising. We're used to raising bad news that something isn't meeting the quality bar expected of the project. So if you need to give somebody some feedback that maybe they're working in a particular way, or the way they give their stand-up update could be improved, you should treat it similarly to a bug card. I'm just right now writing a post for the club, and so I would really like it if after this people can go and look at that. And what I'm after is examples of some feedback that you've been given so that I can incorporate my method of treating feedback like a bug card to explain that feedback a bit better and have some more worked examples, either from people who are just online in Ministry of Testing or are going to be attending that event in Athens, because there is a scarily large audience signed up.
Totally got this, Emily. You're going to be amazing on that stage, and no doubt folks in the audience are going to be like, this is epic. And what a cool talk, what a cool topic. And yeah, thank you so much for getting that post out on the club eventually to get some more examples. I think it's such a brilliant way to kind of enhance someone's talk, right? The approach you've taken. And again, for Christine earlier on asking for some feedback and thoughts, just bringing in other people's stories gives, I think, you know, to put it bluntly, credibility to what you already have to share. You know, clearly you've got loads of brilliant stuff to share, and using other people's examples, you know, helps amplify those others as well, and also gives kind of credibility to your message. Athens, it'd be brilliant. It'd be such a good experience, and I'm so chuffed that they've got you speaking at the Ministry of Testing Athens. It's kind of like a mini test bash. Was it up to like 300 people? I know you mentioned big numbers. Does that sound about right when you've been chatting?
Yes, with completely. When I originally thought about it, for some reason in my head, I said 150 people. And then I went on their website and it said 250 people. And now, because the venue is confirmed and everything's booked and, you know, there's 250 seats but room for extra, the number that they're going with is 300 people.
Love
and
it.
And I was not mentally prepared for that.
Well, we can do everything we can possibly do to support you, Emily. We get folks replying to your question on the club. If you need anyone to review your talk, no doubt you can ask people in the community to share feedback and ideas if you need to ever solicit that feedback, please do go for it. You know, the community will be up for supporting you.
Definitely.
And we'll all be cheering you along. Emily, represent.
It goes against my usual style of writing the slides up to the night before, or even once like 10 minutes before I do it. I've actually got to plan.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, there's certainly good reasons to do a 10 minutes before, like, why not? Yeah, it sounds like with this one, the different approach you're taking sounds like it's going to help. So I'm so glad to hear that.
You can always ask me. I mean, also, Emily didn't share, is the Ministry of Athens at the beach? You're going to be at a beach where you're going to do your presentation. That sounds so cool. You got so much FOMO from all of us. And I'm pretty sure you're going to rock that stage. But let me know when you're done with your slides, and I will let you know when I'm done with my slides, as I also need your feedback as well, as always.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing, Emily. Great to get you on stage. And yeah, apologies, I didn't see your hand appear on Crowdcast. Another Crowdcast bug for us to report back to the team at Crowdcast. But yes, so apologies if I did miss a message in the chat to get yourself up on stage. Well, folks, we are at that time again where we need to wrap up today's episode of This Week in Testing. It's been episode 92. I'm going to share another reminder for those who are watching the screen live. Here is a picture. Let me describe it for those who are listening. It is a picture of Rosie Sherry, the CEO and founder of Ministry of Testing. She's looking very happy. She's got a headset on and she's doing a peace sign with her left hand. And there is a speech bubble where Rosie is saying, it's happening, MOT Software Quality Engineering Certificate. And we also have a new certificate stamp on that image with a purple background and stars. It is happening. You heard it here first on This Week in Testing, MOT SQEC. It's a brilliant name. Please do get excited as much as we are here at Team MOT. We're going to be working with some absolutely incredible people to build out this certification. And there's going to be nothing like it. It's going to be very unique and very, very exciting and powerful. So please do keep your eyes and ears out for that as we announce further details very soon. Okay, folks, we're going to wrap up today. Very grateful to everyone who has joined the stage today. Thank you so much for the conversation and for sharing your knowledge and experience and starting some really good conversations about things. Also grateful to everyone who's participated in the chat, for those who are listening live right now. Amazing to hear from everyone. I love to see the chat. And it's great. A great idea shared in that chat. So keep it coming. And perhaps next time, if you're busy chatting away and you're like, oh, you know what, I could just join the stage, then please do go for it. Hopefully for those who are new to This Week in Testing, you're getting a sense that it's a welcoming community. It's a welcoming space for people to come up and share some things with the world. Okay, folks, we're going to wrap up for today. Thank you so much for your time. And we will catch you at another episode of This Week in Testing. Bye for now.